greetings, fellow makers. Welcome to Prop Live, your weekly prop and costume making Q&A session. I'm Bill, and that's Will.
Right.
And you know him as Billy the Brick Cosplay. And to get started, my wife Brittany wants to know, where did the name Billy the Brick come from?
Yes, it's an interesting story. So, gosh, a really long time ago, I'll tell the short version.
Okay,
so time ago, I accidentally covered a pigeon in spray foam.
Okay.
I didn't know it was up in the in this hole that I was filling with spray foam. So I filled this cavity with spray foam, and out comes this pigeon completely covered, encased in spray
foam. Poor fella.
And so, since I knew there was nothing I could do for it to save it,
yep,
I put it out of its misery with the nearest thing at hand.
Oh, no.
Which happened to be a brick. And for Christmas that year, a friend of mine wrapped up, he went to Home Depot and bought a brick and put, he painted Billy on the front of it.
Yeah.
On the side, he did three little pigeon outlines with a red line through one of them. And that was my Christmas present that year. And so it's been like my online name ever since.
Oh, like my goodness. Well, that's pretty good. That's at the very least, it's a good story. Poor pigeon. You make things like we all make things. Will here lives in Seattle and decided to come hang out with us for the afternoon and come answer some of your guys' problem costume making questions. So, other than that, I was just showing off your website. What have you been working on lately?
Well, the latest thing that I did, I actually just finished putting this together last night, is, speaking of Voltron, I modeled, printed, and then put together my cool keep dagger.
Ooh.
Yeah, there we go. So I actually, this is one of the cool things about 3D printing too, is I originally made this gem up here, and I decided that it was too high, so I just modeled a new one, and now it's nice and flush with the handle. It doesn't stick out too much.
That's when I was doing the Raves Blaster, the grips I made were definitely way too wide, and all I had to do was scale them in one direction to sort of squish them down and reprint it until I got it right. I did that three times to get it just right.
And yeah, so I mean, it's amazing, because I was watching and I was like, oh, I actually made a foam dagger from season one, which in season one, it's completely covered, so you don't know what any of this looks like.
Oh.
And so I watched the episode where he's sitting there with it unwrapped, and I was like, that's okay. And I was like, oh, I need to stop watching right now and go make that right away.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to stop and go make that. And then I kept watching, and it turns into a sword.
Oh.
And so then
spoilers,
I had to stop again.
Spoilers, jeez. Spoilers.
Spoilers, sorry. But so now I'm working on the sword version.
Ah, very good.
Because I have to.
Cool. You're also working on, you got this thing here, more Voltron stuff. The Keith, wait, who does the sword? Keith does the sword.
I
don't remember all their names.
All the weapons that I'm making are Keith right now.
this big fella down here, the Bayard sword thingy?
Yeah, his Bayard sword.
Bayard, is that how it's pronounced? Yeah. Bayard. It's pretty cool. You've got it just in the other room. We're tinkering with it a little bit. That'll
be fun.
We're
working on the acrylic pieces for the light-up stuff.
Awesome. So we're doing some fun stuff with the bandsaw. And then this is Star Wars guy. I also just started watching this show, so I can't remember anyone's names.
He's Kanan.
Star Wars, man!
Yes, from Star Wars Rebels.
And you've been doing a bunch of stuff on him, right?
I've been working on him. Yeah, I'm doing all the sewing for the costume, the clothes myself. In addition to making all of a blaster, lightsaber, all the parts for the belt. Oh, there's a lightsaber right there.
There it is. Oh, there we go. The pictures weren't loading. Got it all.
That's why I've been growing my hair and my beard.
And doing
makeup.
This.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of everything.
Terrifying photo here.
Yeah, I'm planning on actually doing a, hopefully tomorrow, I'm going to do a live makeup test of doing the makeup. Because
you're going to live stream it?
Yeah.
Ooh, awesome. What is your Twitch handle?
Billy the Brick.
There you go. Well, of course, we'll have links to all that stuff in the show notes of this episode, so you guys can go check those out. But if you basically look up on Etsy or Patreon or Facebook or YouTube or wherever else, if you look at Billy the Brick, it looks like we'll find you.
Yeah.
You also do stuff for Geek Dad?
I do. I am a writer for Geek Dad. I've been doing it for about 2 years. The site has about 50 writers, something like that. And we write about stuff that is geeky, stuff that is parenty, stuff that is both, but definitely not exclusive to parents. I started reading Geek Dad years ago before I had any kids, and then even more once I had kids. But yeah,
we met these guys at the Soto Maker Space.
That's right.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things that I'm actually writing for Geek Dad right now. Is every Friday there we do a I do a cosplay family spotlight.
Awesome.
The one tomorrow is actually really cool. They're all really cool, but there's some really cool cosplay tomorrow. There's these twins, but you guys will see it tomorrow when awesome. It goes live.
Exciting, very exciting. Let's see, what else do we have? You got a vacuum chamber, I see.
I did.
Doesn't that it's just so change fun. Everything? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we will frequently get questions people ask us about pressure casting. So we got a pressure pot, or we've had a couple now. If you're going to do pressure casting, like for casting gems or anything that can't have any bubbles in it, the silicone must first be degassed. Otherwise, there'll be bubbles in the silicone. And then when you pressure cast it, those bubbles will collapse and the mold will deform. So you've taken steps into making better, higher quality molds that you can do more with.
Yeah. 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 A pressure pot, it would be nice. That's next on my list. Yes. But they're significantly more expensive than even the vacuum.
They are. For a really good one. Yeah. The first one we got was a Harbor Freight retrofitted paint thing, and it worked okay. It was a little leaky, and the first one I had was missing welding on it, and I had to take it back. That one was probably about $100 after buying all the fittings to retrofit it. The upgraded one we got is one that was designed from the ground up for resin casting, and that one was about $600. So it is a significant jump up for the professional level stuff, but it's incredible. And it's bigger, too. It's got a lot more volume.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think we've got covered everything. One thing that we ought to point out here, too, just a quick rundown. I know we may have a lot of new viewers. Here's just kind of how our Q&A thing works. We've never really fully, I guess, laid out how it works. So we want to answer your guys' questions, technique questions, anything you have where you're building something and you want a little hand, or if you're not sure about different tools or materials, we will help you out. But to submit those questions, you must go to punishedprops.com/live. There is a form there. You can go there anytime during the week. Throughout the whole week, we collect all those questions. And at the end of the week, when we do the show, we grab them all, put them in our show notes, and I answer them, or me and our guest answer them, and then we delete everything in that folder. We usually get to all the questions, so we usually don't miss anything. That's how you submit questions. So you can chat in the chat live. You can see everyone down here chatting. And if you guys want to ask questions amongst one another, that's awesome. Go for it. But if you want us to answer a question, the best way to do that is to submit it through the website, punishedprops.com/live. Then these episodes, if you don't catch them live, go up on our extras channel. We have a second YouTube channel, and that's where these go. A lot of people were missing them because they didn't realize we had moved them over to our second channel. So Punished Props Extras is the YouTube channel. Head on over there and give us a subscribe, and you won't miss these at all. Show notes about the materials that we mentioned are always in the video description. And also the questions that we answer are listed below the embedded video on our website so that you can go see if your question was answered. So if you can't catch it live, you can go back and check. We also have an RSS feed on the website for the audio. So we just put up the audio if you just want to listen to this. And I believe that's up on the iTunes and all that too. So there you go. Also, we will be gone for 2 weeks. So now that you're up to speed, Brittany and I are going on vacation for 2 weeks. So we won't have an episode until February 14th. Or that'll be our next live stream. That's a Tuesday. So we get 2 weeks off.
Yay for vacation.
Yes, finally. All right, that's all the housekeeping I have. I see a pile of questions waiting for us. I see a very active prop tart chat right now, ready to go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Awesome. Spontaneously Fruity is our first question person. What would your guys' material recommendation be for thin form-fitting armor? In particular, this one. And I have a picture that I'm going to try and load up. Here we go. All right. So that's the character. Very thin form-fitting armor. Like that. Very cool. All right. I mean, I would make it out of foam, because that's what I make everything out of. But there are options. What other options would you say?
Well, I would say the same thing, actually. I just bought a roll of 4mm EVA foam from TNT Cosplay in mm-hmm. white for my, of course, my Voltron Paladin armor. Mm-hmm. Because it's very thin and form-fitting, yep. similar to that. So I was going to do EVA, too.
Another material that people really like is Cintra, which is a foamed PVC. You can get it in fairly thin sheets. Our buddy Fabricator Jin likes to use it a lot for all of his armor. It's rigid as opposed to the flexible foam. You can get it in super thin sheets, and you can heat it up and form it into those shapes. I think the EVA foam would probably be a cheaper route, and because it's cheaper, you can afford to experiment a little bit more. But it depends. If you want a more flexible material, you can go with your foam.
Yeah, I've used Cintra for a couple of, the only things I've used it for are a sheath for this dagger and a sheath for a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's nice to make those nice shapes, and then you have something nice and rigid and protective.
Right. Spontaneously, Fruity says, I'm new to making armor, so any tips would be appreciated. Yeah, the best thing you can do is to get a handful of materials and experiment with a little bit. I just happen to like EVA foam. I like that it's flexible. I tend to beat the crap out of my armor. It travels a lot. So if it's flexible, it's going to bend instead of breaking. That's my take on it. And I wrote a whole book about it. So there you go. Thanks for the question.
What? Two books.
Two books. I did write. That's right. I did write a second book. Next question from our pal Staple Crop Rice. Recently, I've gone on an adventure of making giant robot helmets. I can condone this. Nice. Next one needs a tinted visor, but I don't have a vacuum forming machine. Any tips on how I can make it or what I can use to substitute for it? So I got a picture. I don't know which part of that is the visor, but I'm going to show the picture.
It's really cool looking, whatever it is.
I don't know which part's the visor. This gold part, maybe? I don't know.
The little thing up there that's kind of lighted?
I don't know. I was going to say, my go-to is usually to use like a motorcycle visor, but mm-hmm. nothing on that looks like a motorcycle visor.
Yeah. Something that somebody recommended to me that, I hate to keep going back to my Voltron Paladin armor, but for my helmet, they have a visor that's clear plastic.
Yeah.
And someone said just to use like a Coke bottle, because it's not a very big piece, and mm-hmm. again, not sure what the piece is on here, but if it's a pretty small piece, cutting it out of that, and then you can dye it if it's not the right color, if it's clear.
This might be the push you need to build a vacuum form machine. I'm just saying, once you have that as an option, like, the sky's the limit. And if this is the project that pushes you, then awesome, go for it. Otherwise, you're going to be getting some form of thermoplastic and heating it and bending it and gluing it. And that sounds like a nightmare. I'm not saying it's impossible, but that's kind of what it would take.
What is it? PETG?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
You don't have to use a vacuum former to
no, it, you can just heat it by hand. Yeah. But getting those nice geometric forms are going to be very hard to get by hand.
Yeah.
So go ahead and build that vacuum forming machine. I have a video on how to build a fairly small one that's worth checking out. That has like the second most views on my YouTube channel of all time.
I've watched that a couple of times because I keep thinking about it. I'm like, not right now.
Pull the trigger! Thank you, Staple Crop Rice. Next one, random sixth grader without money. It's a very descriptive name. How would I go about making a custom helmet without a head cast if I was on a budget? I've done it with like those really cheap foam heads you can get from the costume store. I got one of those for like $6. So if you can scrape together $6, you're good to go. They're just usually a little small.
Yeah.
So you can wrap them in tape and like padding of some kind, like balled up masking tape or foil or like squishy foam to bulk it out to get it to roughly your head dimensions.
Yeah, they have a couple of different sizes on Amazon too. I bought one of those.
There's an option. But yeah, you're going to have to get something that's kind of head-shaped. And those cheap styrofoam ones from the costume store is a pretty good place to start anyway. And if you're a sixth grader, maybe your head's small enough that it's already the right size. I don't know. I have no idea. You'll find out, though. Go check out. Go play at the costume store. Or party stores? Like Party City or anything like that, though they might have styrofoam heads too. They're super cheap. Okay. Random sixth grader, thank you. Thank you for the question. Oni 117, I've been trying to out latex rubber to seal my foam, but I still end up with tiny chunks in them that make it through the critter gun, even after straining it through a screen mesh. Do you have any tips on filtering those pieces? Oh, yes, I do, actually. Have you worked with latex at all?
No.
Okay.
It's on my list.
All right.
I just watched Evil Ted do his armor.
Yep.
The Vampire Hunter D armor, and I'm like, I really need to do
this. Okay, this is what we do. So the latex comes in a jug, and the latex, this is a poly latex 60, and the latex is kind of paste-like. It's really thick. So we thin it 50-50 by volume with distilled water. We take the water, put it in a blender. Blender you're not using for food anymore, and fill it up a little less than halfway, and then you start putting in gobs of the latex until it doubles in volume, and then blend it. Like, blend the crap out of it. And any little chunks that are going to be around will get liquefied, and then you strain it, and if you feel like you need to do it again, run it. You rinse out your blender, get any chunks out of that thing, do it again, and just blend it.
Yeah.
And again, you can go to Goodwill and buy a used blender that you probably don't want to eat out of anyway. Use that. But we had an old blender. Actually, no. We don't have any blenders now. We have a shop blender. At some point, every single one of our kitchen tools is going to be passed through the shop at some point.
I understand. My toaster oven is not for food anymore.
No. So there you go. Blend it. You're good to go. Thanks for the question, Oni117. Dread from Subatomic Workshop says, I saw that your website is made with WordPress. Would you recommend WordPress? Sure. It's easy enough that an art student can figure it out. So there you go. What do you do?
I have WordPress.
Yours is also WordPress.
I have several WordPress sites. So yeah.
Did you figure it all out yourself? Trial and error sort of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
It's pretty easy.
WordPress 10 years ago versus WordPress now is a very different beast. Now it's like crazy easy to get started. And if you go to, like, we use Dreamhost. If you go to Dreamhost and buy a website and buy hosting, you can, like, there's a button that says install WordPress, and it's like, okay, I got it. And it's just good to go. I will say that it's worth spending the money on a good theme, or even more importantly, a company that will support and update that theme.
Yeah.
So do you have a favorite theme, theme company?
I do not. Okay. Right now I'm using one of the free ones, and I keep browsing, and then, like, I do, you know, live previews, and I'm like, that's not quite what I want. So I still haven't made the leap.
We did Elegant Themes is the one we use, and it's, you can buy like one of their themes, but if you just splurge, and it's like a couple hundred bucks, which in web development terms is nothing. You get a lifetime membership. Any new themes that they have, you get. They will always update them. And more importantly, you have access to their forums and their help section. So if I have something specific I want to do with my theme, I can tell them which theme I'm using in the forum, and they will give me a chunk of code that I just paste into the custom CSS field, and it just fixes
it.
That's
very cool.
So the support is worth it more than anything. But also, they make really, really good themes, so... There you go. WordPress, thumbs up for me. And we use WooCommerce to run our store. So, there you go. Dread, thank you for the question. This person's name is Builder Ann. Builder Ann. That's very clever. Hopefully, your name is actually Ann and you're a builder. I'm planning to 3D print a big prop sword from World of Warcraft. Quel Serar. I played World of Warcraft. I should be able to... pronounce these things. You're 3D printing a big sword right now. Oh, I know this sword.
Oh yeah, that actually looks...
I never got it, but I think that was something that a Fury Warrior might use. Yeah, look at this guy. All right,
that is a big sword.
So that's where we're starting from here. How would you handle printing a large scale prop? Also, I plan to have a lot of battle damage. Should I model that into the sword before printing or do it afterwards? Take it away.
So my sword is not that big, but mine's about 2.5 feet long. And so I modeled the whole thing. And once everything was exactly the way I wanted it, most programs like Fusion 360, which is what I'm using and what Bill uses, and even with this dagger here, slice it into pieces.
There's just a seam here. It's kind of hard to see on camera, but that is really pointy. There's a seam here and a seam here and a seam here. So printed in chunks, and each chunk was printed like in this orientation. Yeah. Except for the tip.
Yeah. Rarbom had recommended to me to not print the tips that way, so they're stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to be taking it out and you want it to be a little bit stronger, print the tip the other direction, split in half. So there is a seam.
So the tip chunk is just here forward, and it's split into two parts, top and bottom, which were printed flat. And then is there something running down the middle of this?
This one, no. On the, there is, if you hold up to the light, you can see that chamber. So on my sword, I did the same thing where there's a hole that's a 1/4 inch diameter that runs down the length of it. So on the sword, because it's longer, and what you're going to want to do with yours is a 1/4 inch threaded rod from any hardware store, just down the middle, cut to length. Just to give it that extra support. And it also helps with assembly, because then you have that rod in the middle holding your pieces in alignment.
There you go. As far as the battle damage, it depends on how drastic it is. If you're going to like Dremel a slice into your 3D print, you may Dremel down into the infill, which isn't the end of the world. You could fill it and sand it and everything. But if you do have any drastic battle damage, you might want to model that into the model. So there you go. Thank you, Builder Anne, for the question. Hey, Deathbright has a question. What's the best way to change lights from battery powered to USB powered? I have, let me just sneak back here for a sec. I have a USB thing. Oops, almost got it. There it is. So I use this for charging just my cell phone. And I believe this puts output 5 volt DC. Right, so that's the important thing to know. Most of these USB powered things are 5 volts. So whatever you're going to be powering, like a normal LED, just know that if you plug a normal LED into 5 volts, it will probably burn up. Most of them are more like 2 or 3 volts. So you'll have to put resistors into it. Let me see here. And it says output. And the output is 2.1 amps, which is a lot for an LED. So you can look up a resistance calculator, an LED resistance calculator on the internet to figure out what resistors you'll need. But I bet if you look up powering LEDs from a phone charger battery, someone's probably already written a guide on that. But just know that the... these things put out 5 volts, and you're going to have to alter that in some way so you don't melt all your lights. But this is great. Like this, if I plug a string of... this is 16,000 milliwatt hours, like something insane. If I plug LEDs into this thing, they'll probably last for a week. Like these things, depending on how many LEDs you have. So, these things are really cool. Hopefully that answered your question. But you're going to have to basically like wire them, or if you already have a string of LEDs, wire them into a USB plug. USB plugs have like, I don't know which is which, but it's got like a positive and a ground, and then like some data wires. You'll have to figure out which is which and hook them up to that. But again, someone's probably already figured that out. So there you go. The LEDs can be up to 14 volts. Very cool. Or couldn't be. Something else too, you can get, so there's a model train company, I can't remember off the top of my head, but they do LEDs, and you can buy them one at a time for like model trains, but they will be able to run off of a range of voltages. So it might be a like 2 to 7 volts it'll run off of, which is awesome because you can plug it into a variety of power sources. Or if you just, you're like, I have a 9-volt battery. I don't want to do math. They're like, we have a bad thing that'll go from 6 to 12. You're like, yeah, 9's in that range. So someone else.
Make it easy. It out.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Deathbrite. And we'll see you. We'll see you this weekend. Hey Patch has a question. Hey Patch also has a new video out you guys ought to go see. He did a very simple leather wallet. Very, very good. Let's see. He has some liquid latex. It's plain and dries kind of light brown. I want to use it to seal and paint LARP style props. What kind of paint should I use to color it? And do you have any tips for painting with latex? I have lots of tips for painting with latex. First, get a blender. Blend it. Thin it. You should be able to tint it with any acrylic paints. And the stuff I have, it technically dries transparent, but it does kind of have that brownish tint to it as it dries. But if you mix any acrylic paints in there, it should pick up all of that color there.
How does it maintain whatever color it is, mm-hmm. pretty much when it dries?
Yeah, it dries almost completely transparent, but it does have kind of like an amber tint to it. But if you put a ton of like blue paint in there, it'll just be blue.
And you can mix it with the blender.
Usually what I end up doing is I'll mix up a batch of just plain latex with distilled water in the blender and pour that into a bunch of those, what would you call them? Mason jars. There we go. So I'll have a bunch of plain latex, okay. and then I will portion that into another jar, mix in the color I need, hook that up to my critter spray gun to spray it. That's usually what I do. And then I'll always have like a bunch of jars of plain on hand, and then like black I'll have, like common colors I'll just keep around. Painting with latex. Yeah, get a compressor and a critter spray gun, and you're good to go. You can brush everything if you want, but that's, get a spray gun. They're awesome. Thanks, Hey Patch. Tecton Prop says, I have a question about how to get just the right metallic finish with paint. I have just used silver spray paint for most things, but it doesn't work as well when I want the stuff I'm making to look less like modern metal and more like old fantasy iron. What do you, have any favorite metal painting techniques?
I just got my first all-clad 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
You need an airbrush.
Yeah.
It's worth investing in an airbrush just for that, though.
Yeah, it's amazing. Before that, I was using just the Rust-Oleum Metallics, which they have a lot of different ones. They even have a soft iron one.
There are some
that might be kind of the color,
feel
that you're looking for, but the all-clad is going to make it look more like real metal.
I found for specific things, there are some rattle cans that I still like. Rust-Oleum has their bright coat. And they have a bronze that I like, but I usually use it as a base coat and then paint on top of it.
Right.
All clad's awesome. So this is the All Clad 2 website, allclad2.com. And if you go to finishes, they have all kinds of crazy awesome stuff like regular finishes, aluminum, duraluminum. I don't know what that is. Dark aluminum, pale gold. I really like the bright aluminum. I don't know if it's here. Regular high shine. Yeah, polished aluminum. Oh, it's so shiny.
Yeah, I got the airframe aluminum and the pale gold or the
Really, really shiny. Now you do have to put down a nice coat of gloss black under these and then put the chrome on top. And it looks like, so if you want really shiny metal looking stuff, then that's the way to do it. If you want something to look like dirty, like iron, then I actually did an article on Tested's website about painting a helmet, and I started with that bright coat bronze, just a spray paint, and then I went over that with a bunch of layers of different values of metallic acrylic paints, so like a dark, like a gunmetal, and then like a silver, and just lightly going over it to keep adding like scratches and depth to it. But we have an article on tested.com about that, and we can link that in the show notes. There you go. I like that. I like, even with the shiny stuff, you start with a base coat of black. And it's, once you start experimenting with that, spraying something with a rattle can of just silver paint will start to look just fake always. Yeah. But if you start with a dark tone and then build on top of it, you're like, wow, that's so much better.
Yeah, I did all my stuff and I had done a flat black because I'm used to doing flat mm-hmm. for the base coat. And like I posted and Eric was like, you're going to want gloss under that.
Yeah.
And it made a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
Using a gloss.
There you go, Tecton props. Have fun, like, really experimenting with what you can achieve once you start layering lots of different paints and stuff. But definitely go read that article that I wrote for Tested. We are working our way through the questions. You guys watching live, if you have anything else, now's the time to do it. Over at punishprops.com/live, you can submit your questions right there. Kagar Props is pointing out that Tested also did a video painting my Sir Bots a lot. And I believe that was one of their premium videos, but it's worth paying for their premium service, I think. And they used those all-clad paints in that, and they looked amazing. Also, we are working on a way to get Sir Bots a lot available to more people. So, I will tell. That's all I know at this point. I've got another company involved, but just letting folks know that if they're interested in getting their hands on a Sir Bots a lot, then we are doing what we have to get them out to you guys. Okay, Dagger Elk says, psst, what's going on at Construct? I couldn't make it last year, and I want to know what's up. Do you know about Construct?
I know about it.
Mm-hmm. Construct is in New York City, though. A little bit of a haul for those of us on the West Coast. Brittany and I have been invited to go there by our friend Alyssa, who is running the event. Me and a different Will went last time. Will Morgan. Not last year, but the year before. It's a small event that's focused on doing demos and showing off techniques and classes on building things. So they had a lot of sculptors and mold makers and prop makers there last year or the previous time, and they're doing it again, and we're going to be there. So if you're on the East Coast or if you're anywhere near New York City, you should go. It's in the Complete Sculptor, which is an incredible wonderland of magical maker supplies and tools.
Very cool.
Yeah. So there you go, Dagger Elk. That's what's up with Construct.
You know what? So are you guys doing demos
mm-hmm.
too?
Yep.
What kind of? Do you know what kind of demos we're doing yet?
I'm probably going to make stuff out of foam.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there. We haven't settled on anything yet, but the, doing a demo, making stuff out of foam is just fun to just show off and get people interested. Yes, Nerdy Views, you do totally need to go to Construct. Yes, you do. Okay, thanks for the question, Dagger Elk. Zach says, how do you cut beveled edges using your scroll saw? Or should I just use my bandsaw? Do you have either of those?
I do not have either one yet. that's why I brought my acrylic over here.
That's cool. We're working on getting Will to buy a bandsaw.
It's my next thing on my list, actually.
Showing him what's possible. You should be able to tilt the bed on your scroll saw. The thing is that it doesn't have a fence. You could make your own fence by clamping a piece of wood to your scroll saw and running it through there, which I actually did on the bandsaw today.
I saw it in action.
Yep. The clearance with the guard was too high with the fence in place because the fence is like that thick. So I just clamped a thin piece of wood mm-hmm. to the bed and I just ran a piece of plastic through it and it worked awesome. So DIY a fence on your scroll saw, tilt the bed, so long as your scroll saw can do that, and you're good to go. Or just freehand it like a boss, which I've done on my scroll saw. Scroll saw doesn't get a lot of use now since I have a laser, though. Although you can't cut bevels on the laser. If you have a bandsaw, and also, by the way, too, Zach, if you have a bandsaw, just use that. It's way, way better. All right, Kelly wants to know if we have any Mass Effect Andromeda plans coming up. Are you into Mass Effect?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you seen anything from what's been released so far?
Yeah, they just had the new trailer. Was it today or yesterday? The new trailer.
I haven't seen that yet. I thought.
Yeah, they have a bunch. They actually have like all the characters and their names and stuff now, which mm-hmm. they hadn't released before. Looks so good.
Mass Effect Andromeda trailer 8 hours ago.
There you go. What was today?
Goodness. How did I miss this? All right, everyone. We're not going to watch the whole thing, but I'm just pointing it out. There we go. I'm looking for space guns. There's an alien. No space guns. There we go. Oh,
there's some guns.
Those look kind of cool. They look kind of like, kind of like the Valkyrie rifle, kind of modified. I can get behind that. Let's see here. We got, looks like a Krogan. We got people making out, it looks like. There we go. That's a, there. Oh.
That's a nice shot.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can dig that. I like the armor, too. I like that white. So, yes.
A double barrel.
I definitely now have plans to make things from Mass Effect. Jeff in the chat says, so what you're saying is that I need a bandsaw. Is that right, Bill? Yes, Jeff. Second Nature Effects is building one of those right now. Awesome. Cool. I need to know what that gun is called. It looks incredible. I really like that. It's you can definitely tell they're drawing from design elements from the previous games, but doing something kind of new, and I like that. Phoenix Revival says guns in space. That was good. Good one. Very good. And then there's this. You want a vacuum form challenge? How about that helmet right there? There you go. Oh, and he's got his Carnifex. It looks a little bit... That's a drawing. That's not a 3D model. That's different than the one I made. Yeah. All right.
I need to make something from a game.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing that I've had a challenge with like this dagger and the sword is because their animation, It's every screenshot I get, it looks different.
Yep.
So then it's kind of like, I'm going to go with this design because... That's my interpretation of it. So it's kind of more like an interpretation versus like, this is a 3D model of the exact dimensions and measurements of this thing.
Yeah. Actually, let's go on a tangent here. this guy, if he still has them, gallery, Mass Effect references, we'll put a link in the show notes. This dude is on DeviantArt. And his username is Trudon80, and he's gone through and grabbed weapon everything from Mass Effect weapon references. Let's say, so let's take a look around. Let's find something cool. Like, I like this one a lot, the N7 Hurricane. There is the reference image from all angles for the 3D model. And you can download a super high res version of it. So there's that.
Wow.
So somehow he ripped all the files and then rendered them all out and got perfect. Super awesome.
It even says permission document attached. So he got permission to do this?
I guess so.
Wow.
So there you go. Trudon80. We'll link to that in the show notes too. He's awesome. Funny story though, when I did the first N7 Eagle pistol from Mass Effect 3, the game wasn't out yet. There were no references of that. I should have gotten the references of the phalanx and used that, but because I got the thickness wrong. But I did it all from a side view, and it turned out okay. Second Nature Effects linked to his progress. I want to show off real quick. There you go.
It's the X-37, huh?
That's what it's called, and it looks amazing. That looks really, really cool. Now I'm very excited about that. That's a good X-Acto knife you have there too. Second Nature Effects, I like that one.
A nice comfort grip.
It's the best because it doesn't dig into your hand when you're cutting tons of stuff. Okay, that's enough Mass Effect. That's been Mass Effect hour. All right. Thank you, Kelly, for sending us on that tangent. Twint43 says, I'm making a wooden sword prop. I was wondering what type of resin would you suggest for the handle? I'm not sure what you mean by resin for the handle. Like, is it going to be sealed in resin? Is it going to be made out of resin? I'm not quite sure. I have the full scope of the question here. But I think Twint is in the chat. So maybe he will, or she will, update us in the chat. But you could cast a handle piece out of resin.
You put it over the wood.
Yep. You could seal a piece of wood using resin like epoxies. You could cast a tube of resin like urethane and then put that in a lathe and make a handle out of it. You could do that, which I've done before. You got a lot of options.
My my sword for my Ashitaka is actually, the blade is wood, and then I made like a tongue on it, and I, because the handle has some weird shapes and stuff, I actually 3D modeled it and printed
it,
and then I epoxied it to the tongue on the blade. Mm-hmm.
Almost like the way they make real swords.
So that's an option too.
Except wood.
Yeah.
So there you go. I haven't seen a response in the chat, so I think we're going to keep moving on, but hopefully we covered kind of what you were going for there. Tran Otaku says, when breaking up a sword for printing, how do you put them together in a way that is structurally sound? We were just talking about this before. It looks like... So when we were at the Soto Makerspace, we made a video, and Thomas actually, a.k.a. Rarbomb, actually went over how he did his sword. So we'll just link to this. You guys can check it out. But this is basically how you were doing yours.
This is where I got my the method for mine.
Mm-hmm.
With some tips from him.
It's cool, too. The steel threaded steel rod in there will give it a little bit of weight. Yeah. Just a little bit. There you go. So he's also added 3D printed blocks, it looks like, for registration, too. Yeah. Keep everything nice and lined up.
Hey, there's my jacket.
Hey, look at that. Oh, and then YouTube failed us. But there you go. We'll link to that video in the show notes. You guys can go check that out. Cool. There you go. Thanks. It's the Sword Hour with Bill and Will. let's see here. We got a couple more. We got Zach saying, I'm making the goblets from the Princess Bride and I'm wanting to cast them using pewter. Using the Lee Bullet Melting Pot, do you think I could make something that big? He's 3D printing the model. Goblets might be pushing it. You may have to get a bigger one. The good news about pewter is that you can melt it on a stove and a pot. So you don't need a melting pot. Per se, you can just get
Goodwill.
Go to Goodwill, get a pot you're not going to eat food out of anymore. That's another theme today. And just melt it right in that. You can melt it on a stovetop. Be very careful. It is still really hot molten metal. But yeah, I would get a couple of big ingots of pewter. They're about $20 each on Amazon. Melt it in a pot, then just pour it in your mold. Be very safe and careful. But it should work. Have you tried any?
I have not tried metal.
Tried any metal yet? It's really cool. I was just going to show off my wedding ring, but it's upstairs because I washed my hands like a chump. But it's actually holding up pretty well. It's holding. I figured it would get dinged up a lot, but I make a habit of taking it off when I'm using power tools and stuff so it doesn't get all scratched and dinged up. But it's holding up pretty well.
I upgraded or downgraded, depending on how you like, to the silicone ones.
Yeah, because I have some of those.
That way I can wear it all the time and not have to worry about it.
Yep. All right. Let's keep moving. Zach, that was a good question. Sam from Bio Cosplay says, how would you go about making the legs for a Titanfall 2 phase shift pilot? Because they don't have legs. Or he's a robot or something. There you go. So this is one of those times when you're really going to have to, like... make some compromises, I would say. I have no problem when I'm designing a costume of compromising for the sake of comfort or even just to make it possible. Have you seen some of the people doing what's his face from Overwatch? Junkrat?
Yeah.
How they've some people have achieved that look because he's got a peg leg.
Right.
Since he only has one peg leg, though, usually sometimes people will put a fake peg leg coming off their knee and then put a black sock on the rest of the leg. I don't think you can pull that off with this, not with both legs. but you might just have to make the thin lower leg portion as thin as possible on your leg. Or, this might work, have that part be on the front of your shin and just wear like a black sock behind it.
I've seen a General Grievous, and he has, you know, pretty long spindly limbs. Same kind of thing, though, where the pieces are really just kind of on the front.
Right,
and you wear something black. So for pictures, it's easy to kind of, but, you know.
Yep. It really just depends on, like, where you're willing to make those compromises and what your final output is going to be. So I would probably just make it as thin as possible around. I would bulk out the knees a little bit. Part of the problem, I mean, my calves are abnormally big because I'm a freak of nature. So it would be difficult, but I would bulk out that and then down near my ankle, just make it as skin tight as possible to kind of play with the proportions a little bit. But that's a tough one. That's a tough one. So good luck is really all I'm saying.
It'd probably look really cool, though.
It would look really cool. Make the upper... No one looks at your feet, by the way, ever. So make the top part of the costume so amazing, no one looks at your feet. And then demand that they only take photos from the waist up. Good luck, Sam. Jay Colley says, where is a good place to start researching a 3D printer? Which 3D printer or printers do you have?
I have the Dremel Idea Builder.
Dremel's pretty solid. We've been really happy with ours. Do you watch any 3D printing YouTube channels?
The only one I watch is, I'm probably blanking on his name, but you are friends with him.
Joel,
yes.
Joel the 3D printing nerd. Joel the 3D printing nerd is awesome. He's a buddy of ours, and he's just got a great sense of humor, and he does a lot of reviewing. Like, people ask me what printers to buy, and I've never actually bought a 3D printer. We've acquired ours through deals. So I just ended up with the Idea Builder because that was part of the deal. It turns out that it's an awesome printer, but I didn't do any research to find the best printer for the buck. So I'm not really a good resource for reviewing those. However, Joel is really good. Tom San Ladderer is even better. Not that Joel isn't the best, but Tom is like thorough and meticulous about his reviews. So you should go check out his YouTube channel. This guy right here, toms3d.org. I think Joel would agree that Tom is just the authority on most things. 3D printing and 3D printers. So go check out his YouTube channel. He's been doing a very thorough test of a lot of different filaments with a very, like, objective scoring system called Filoween.
Nice.
And then Maker's Muse is another good one. And I'm sure there's plenty more, but those are the three that I tend to check out. So Maker's Muse, his name is Angus. He's a cool guy. Go check out his channel, too. So
up until yesterday, I was using just the Dremel filament. And yesterday, I got my Matter Hackers filament. It's amazing how much of a difference you can actually notice. Like, I was like, yeah, it's filament. Like, how much difference could there really be? And there is a difference.
What slicing software are you using?
I'm going from Fusion 360 to Mesh Mixer and importing that in the Dremel software.
Oh, the Dremel software is pretty terrible. Yeah. So if you jump to like Cura or even better would be Simplify 3D. That for me with our Dremel, when I went to Simplify 3D, I noticed an amazing difference. So
that will export the files for the Dremel?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I go from Fusion, pop out an STL, and I just open that right in Simplify 3D, send it to the Dremel, Bob's your uncle.
Nice. Okay, I'm gonna try that.
Very good.
I was looking at Matter Control, but it doesn't work with the Dremel.
Oh, yeah. Cura's good, too. And I was just... I got... it's right behind me here, the Taz Mini. They run their own version of Cura that you have to install and then run the printer plugged in. But it's cool. Like, I think it's a really good mix between easy to use and lots of control. It's pretty neat. So I've only done a couple prints on it so far, but I think that's pretty neat too.
I'm definitely going to go check out Simplify 3D.
Yep. At very least, grab Cura because it's free.
Oh, I'll start with that.
I haven't tried printing from Cura on the Dremel, though, so may or may not work well.
Do you print with it plugged in so you print straight?
Or I do the memory card thing. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I actually can't get the USB to work with my computer.
Oh, weird. Question two. Will, how do you get around the irregularities when designing a costume from image stills? Haha. Well, Star Wars guy is actually a 3D model, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for on the Star Wars Rebels, yeah. Although finding actual references is a little tricky. One of the things that I had to make was I made a droid collar for Kanan, and I have the model up for that in my store, but there were no reference pictures for it anywhere. And the only reference I actually found was a picture of a statue that they had at some convention. And it was like blurry. And so I designed the model, and then I watched a more recent episode, and they just happened to have this one scene where it was almost like a close up of the thing. And so I had to go in and I tweaked my 3D model and updated it. But, it's kind of funny. I keep bugging the show creators because they did what you have up here on the screen. They did, well, not all these are, but these ones here with that actually have the Pantone colors are, they released those during season one so people could do costumes.
That's awesome.
And it's like, I keep bugging them to do season three because a lot of the characters changed from season one and two to season three.
Right.
And I'm doing season three, but you know, most of the characters have costume changes and prop changes, and they haven't released those stills. So that would be one good way to do it. But on the Voltron thing, it is tricky. So you can't be 100% accurate because no matter what you do, you're going to be able to find a still that doesn't match the prop you made.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what I do is like for the dagger and the sword and the Bayard is I kind of looked at a bunch of different ones and said, what's going to make the most sense in reality?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of them too, it's like, okay, well, that's a really weird force perspective shot. And if I made it to look exactly like that in real life, it's going to be really tip heavy on the sword or whatever. So you kind of just have to figure out what is going to work best for you in real life, even if it doesn't match, you know, the still exactly 100%.
Something else to think about too, like you may be obsessing over getting a perfect reference image, but if you can't find it and you're obsessing about it, no one else can. So they won't be able to tell that you're wrong. So just remember that. Do it if you get it as good as you can, no one else, then you're the authority and you can set the new standard. Like our buddy Will Morgan made the strange coin. I actually have the official. Can you grab those over there? There's two of them. He made his own version of the strange coin, which is here, super dusty. Boop. And then Bungie released their own, which is a little bit different and bigger, but obviously this is how they wanted it to look. This didn't exist when he made this, and there no one knew what the back of it looked like. So he made his own back, and in there is his logo, a little WM in there, built into the back of it, which kind of made sense. They made theirs just the same on the front and back, and it's actually kind of light can go through there. What's funny is before this came out, people saw this because Will made it, and they started making their own, and they thought this is what the back was supposed to look like. So they just copied it, including his logo.
That is awesome.
Or at least his WM, his signature. So people thought this for a while that this is what strange coins are supposed to look like. So people just started making it. So you can be set the new canon for your whatever thing you're making. Jeff in the chat is pointing out too that they may have a Disney Infinity figure of that character. So Kanan, let's see. And you don't even need to like necessarily buy it, or Jeff says that he can get photos of it. Someone else may already have put photos out. So Kanan? Yeah. Disney Infinity. And there it is. Yeah, where is my thing? There you go. So there is the character from the that's a render, I think.
Yeah.
But someone somewhere, maybe if I look up figure, someone somewhere is going to have like a good picture of this, or a friend might, and then you can get references that way. Yeah. So, you got options?
Yeah, I actually have I don't have the game, but I have the Kanan figure.
Yeah.
Because I like Kanan, hence the doing the Kanan cosplay.
Absolutely.
And since Disney announced they're not supporting Infinity anymore, they're all on clearance at Toys R Us.
Oh, hey, there you go.
I got it for $3.
Perfect. Very cool. All right, well, that's just about all of our questions, and we are out of time. Once again, Will, thanks for hanging out today.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me over.
I think we have a little bit more work to do in the shop. Yeah, I'm gonna go acrylic. Cut out some more acrylic. Once again, too, guys, head on over to BillyTheBrickCosplay.com to go see what everything that Will's working on. What do people have to look forward to in the coming weeks?
So the sword version of the dagger.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler.
And actually, it's funny. A bunch of people have asked me if I'm going to have finished daggers for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And so, since so many people have asked me, I'm going to work on making this into a... I'm going to work on making a mold of it.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Castings of it. But the finished dagger, my finished sword, and then more on my Kanan, because that is one that I'm planning on debuting at Emerald City, so I have to finish that.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that at Emerald City Comic Con. We'll be there. We'll do a meetup like we did last year. It'll be super fun. Hey gang, thank you so much, our wonderful prop tarts down in the chat, for coming, hanging out with us for the last hour, and sending us your fantastic questions. I'm gonna go now and watch the Mass Effect Andromeda trailer in full on my TV, and then we're gonna go play in the shop. But until next time, everybody, which will be in a couple of weeks because we're going to Middle Earth, thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you on the next Prop Live. Bye.